Tail Lights Podcast listeners, you're in for a real treat today as I sat down for nearly an hour and a half on the phone with Coach Gary Proffitt of the Goldthwaite Eagles. Coach Proffitt led the Eagles to 3 state championships, 5 state championship games, and coached on a state championship team the year before he took the head coaching job there at Goldthwaite as well. So he was involved in some very big moments in Goldthwaite history, and we're going to get to relive them all here today. I will say special thanks to Coach Steve Goldman, who is how I came to hear of Coach Proffitt years ago on our ride to coaching school. Coach Goldman and I were trucking along on our way to Arlington, headed to the Texas Girls Coaches Association coaching school, and Coach Goldman, when we passed a sign that told us how far away Goldthwaite was, he said, "Oh, you know, Goldthwaite, that's a great place," and mentioned that Coach Proffitt had been there a long time and what a great job he had done and everything. And in my research, I confirmed everything Coach Goldman told me was true. And so reached out to Coach Proffitt, and I was very fortunate that he agreed to sit down with me this morning and conduct this career retrospective. So I hope y'all enjoy it, and always appreciate your feedback. Just contact me, of course, taillightspodcast@gmail.com, and make sure you get on there and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you find yourself enjoying this episode. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to the Tail Lights Podcast. I'm Eric Thormalin, and this morning I'm joined by longtime retired Goldthwaite head football coach and athletic director, Gary Proffitt. Coach Proffitt, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Coach, if you don't mind telling our listeners a little bit about where you grew up and what your parents did.
Well, I grew up in Ballinger, Texas. My father was a painter. He painted houses and did that type of work, and my mother was just a housewife. She worked some odd jobs here and there, but like I said, I grew up in Ballinger Bearcats, and they had a pretty good tradition of football itself during that time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you play some sports there in school then at Ballinger?
Yeah, you bet. That was one of the draws for me. I played football, basketball, tennis, track, you name it. We were, tried to get in and do it, and was fortunate enough to have some good friends that, were the same way, and we just, enjoyed that opportunity that we had.
Yeah, definitely. What'd you decide to do after high school? Where'd you end up going to college and stuff? What made you want to go into education? Was it something you'd planned to do, or did that evolve?
Well, not really. I went in a year, even maybe closer to 2, undecided about what I was going to do, and took the basics. I checked out lots of different things, and we had some pretty successful teams there at Ballinger when I was in high school, but we never made the playoffs. We would always just be, a game short, or we'd tie for it and not go. And so I just still kind of had that draw, and I thought, I didn't want to have a job where I had to stay inside all the time. And, so I just kind of, decided that teaching and coaching sounded like a good opportunity, and I still, like I said, had that kind of burning in desire to, be with a team that made the playoffs and have that experience. So that kind of helped drive me in that direction.
Absolutely. What as you go through Angelo State there, when you're coming out, did you student teach, or did you go the alternative certification route?
No, I actually, did the health and PE at that time, and I was a biology minor, so I could teach the biology and that type of stuff, and I did my student teaching, and two different areas. I did the elementary PE area, which was part of my certification. Made me realize real quick that that's probably something I did want to do. And then I did also went to National Central and did student teaching there. Kind of got to work in some different areas with that, and you know, felt like that was going to be a better fit for me.
Okay. So where do you end up starting your career?
Well, you know how it is. You know, just looking for that first job and scouting things out. And it was kind of a very unique situation that we ended up here in Goldthwait. I had, applied to lots of different schools in this area. My wife's parents had grown up in the kind of the Goldthwait area, but they had been out in West Texas. My wife grew up in West Texas, and they had just retired and moved east of Goldthwait, and so we thought, well, that might be a good spot, you know, to kind of get a little closer to. So we applied in, you know, a lot of areas around Brownwood, in this area. So Goldthwait and San Saba were the two that I ended up actually interviewing at. Ended up, you know, here in Goldthwait. Just, did some squatting or something, because we stayed here, you know, that entire time.
Yeah, what year is that when you get to Goldthwait?
In 1980.
Okay.
I came to Goldthwait.
So you go to work, I guess, there for Coach Priest, correct?
That's correct. In 1980, Coach Priest was the head coach, and he had come over from De Leon, where, you know, he'd been there with Jack Wagner, and they'd won some state championship and went to the finals. And, you know, he'd come in, and Goldthwait had dropped the classification back down at that time to Class A. And, you know, just felt like, you know, had some good opportunities, you know, starting out here in Goldthwait. And Coach Priest was at that time, had a lot going on, got going for him, and, you know, knew what the situation was and what he could do to change things here. And, you know, he was a great mentor for me, and really learned a lot from him. And, you know, felt fortunate to be able to be a part of a program that really, you know, came about started out, I guess, during his era, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. And I do apologize if you hear some noises every once in a while in the background. My old hound dog Millie is, she's also sitting in here for the interview, and sometimes, you know, she'll snore and sometimes she'll groan, and
so it's all good.
What was the big thing to do in Goldthwait, Texas in 1980?
Oh, goodness. there wasn't a lot, you know. Fortunately, you know, we came here, I was married, and we just, you know, were pretty content with, my wife is also a teacher, so we just were pretty content, you know, with living the small town life. We both grew up in small towns anyway, and, you know, pretty much school and church is about the only two things, major things going, and that's, you know, we just plugged into both of those, so we were good.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys, when you move there, do you already have children, or will that come later?
That comes later, yeah.
Okay. You're going to serve on the staff, I guess, for five or six years before taking over as the head coach, correct?
Yes.
What were some things
that
maybe...
is correct.
What were some things learning under Coach Priest that you feel like maybe got you really ready for that head coaching opportunity?
Well, you know, like I said, he did a good job of helping build and start, I think, the program here in Goldthwait. He just had kind of a different personality and with things, and I think it was, the right personality at the time. When we came in, the kids had... we didn't have a whole lot in the program, I think in the 30 numbers, and you know, they had been in those situations where they were in a good district with some good teams the year before and up in that bigger classifications, and they've taken some beatings. And there was just a handful of seniors that year, that first year anyway, that, you know, had realized the opportunity, and they really were ready to go to work and you know, have some success. And so that was a good part of that. And Coach Priest was a good blend with them to keep them going and instill a little bit of discipline and get a program kind of going, because I'm not, you know, it just been a whole different mix the years before. And so all those things just kind of blended together, and we were forcing them, you know, to turn things around that very first year in 1980 and make the playoffs. And so it was a very, it was just a great experience to be a part of.
You made mention that in Ballinger, you know, you guys didn't really make the playoffs a lot and everything, and now here in 1980, you guys at Goldthwait, you're going to be able to make the playoffs. Tell our listeners a little bit, because for some anyone that's listening to this that's younger, they'd be like, golly, they didn't even make the playoffs? Because, you know, four teams or so get in now.
Right.
If you want to fill some of them in that maybe don't know, I mean, how hard was it to make the playoffs in, you know, 1980 and before that?
You know, it was a total different world kind of back then, with this, you know, one team went to the playoffs back when I was playing at Ballinger. So, you know, you had some pretty good football teams, and we played I played there in Ballinger at the era of, you know, when Hamlin was really good. They had that Ham Jones was, you know, running back for them, and they were just loaded with some tremendous athletes. And so it made it pretty tough. And with one team going to the playoffs, you know, you just had your one chance against these better teams, and that was it. And it, so there was pretty good teams during that time that, you know, stayed home and watched everybody else play, because it was a heck of a lot tougher. And like I say, that's one of the things that, you know, drove me, is just to have that experience and that opportunity. And that first year at Goldthwait, when it was a little different situation back then as well, where we actually were in zones. We had, our district was in two zones, the west zone and the east zone. And we were fortunate enough to, that first year, to upset a couple of top 10 teams over here that were in our east zone. And we played Santiana in a zone playoff game to see who was the district champion. And we failed to them in that playoff game. But, you know, to have the opportunity was, you know, great for this community, because I hadn't been in that situation in, you know, many years.
Does Santa Ana, do they still have football over there?
Well, they do. They're a six-man school now.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, so the whole zone deal, how many teams were in your zone, I guess, or in the split zones?
Yeah, I'm going off memory, but there was about, I think, five or six in each zone. So we had a district of about, you know, 10 to 12 schools.
Yeah. Okay.
Very, you know, they did that for a few years, and now, it, you know, that one kind of went away.
Yeah. What do you think, as far as looking back at the difference, you know, with one team getting out of district back, you know, all the way back, and now up to as many as four teams, do you feel like they ever found the perfect balance and passed it up, or do you think now is better than it's ever been, or was it better back when just one team got out?
Well, you know, the one team made it tough. I think one team is pretty tough. I like the two team, because at least you had the, you know, an opportunity if you didn't have a good game or had an injury, you know, whatever, especially in our size school, you know, an injury can really, you know, change things up for you.
Right.
But I think the four is a little bit watered down. I think it's just, you know, a little bit too much. So, you know, if my preference is just to see like two, maybe three at the most in the playoffs, but like I say, I'd have to settle on the two. To, you know, I know a lot of years that we ended up coming out of our district in the second seed, but we would go three or four rounds deep in the playoffs. So, you know, I think that kind of proves some of the merit of, you know, having us a couple teams, at least in the playoffs.
Right. Yes, sir. Well, when you you spend that time there as an assistant and in Coach Priest last year, you guys are going to win the state championship, correct?
Yes, sir.
And I got to give a quick shout-out to TexasHighSchoolFootballHistory.com because they make interviewing someone like yourself so much easier because they have so much good information on here for any of our listeners that want to ever go there and check out. That's how I know so much about a guy like you, Coach Prophet, because obviously I wasn't even around when you took that job in 1980, being that I'm only 35 years old. So this a lot of the time when I interview a coach, it provides me with a lot of information to be able to, you know, I'm sure the years can run together in some ways for you, and so sometimes it helps keep us a little bit lined up correctly, I guess, you know, or correct some of it even, you know. But
Yes, sir.
You guys win that state title though, that last year of Coach Priest. How did the head football job end up falling to you or coming to you or however you would say that? Sure. Yes, sir.
Before we get to that, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I just want to say a couple of things, you know, with getting there, I guess, so to speak. We made the playoffs there in 1980. We missed it by one in 1981. We, again, made the playoffs in 82, 83, and 84. And we lost all the first-round games in that time.
Mm-hmm.
So when 85 rolled around, you know, for that year, our kids were really hungry about not, you know, I'm not saying that a state game or anything like that wasn't maybe in the back of their minds, but our number one goal that drove us in 1985 was just to win a playoff game. And so we, you know, had that focus, and we're fortunate enough, you know, in 1985 to just, you know, get out there. And again, we played Santiana in that playoff game in 1985 that got the first win, basically, in the playoff situation. So that was, you know, the big drive. And when we got to that, you know, the kids were like, hey, you know, it's this is good stuff. And we just kind of got on that roll and kept going, and we're fortunate enough to, you know, beat some pretty good teams and win that state championship in 1985.
Well, it seems like people had a hard time scoring on y'all that year as well, because in what I have here, it says you guys going 15-0-1. I guess, let's see here, you guys allowed 41 points in 16 total games.
Yeah, we had, you know, like I say, we just had a good bunch of kids that were hungry, that had been, you know, they had come up, you know, by that time pretty much through Coach Priest's program, and, you know, just did a good job developing. And again, great bunch of kids. And, you know, they were the type of group that you enjoyed working with each and every day, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and a lot of the time, you know, that learning kind of the hard way, losing in the first round and stuff, you know, it's a way to sharpen yourself. There's nothing like going home and saying, this isn't going to happen next year, you know, and to, you know, and you start developing that mentality. And before you know it, you're in the weight room and you're on the track and you're getting faster, you're getting stronger, doing all those things, trying to get ready for the next season. And then before you know it, there you guys are playing 16 total games that season. So what brings about the head coaching position for you as Coach Priest leaves?
Well, you know, after the 85 season, we moved up to Class 2A at that point in time. And Coach Priest, you know, he didn't really say a whole lot about it. He had just applied at Ballinger. Yeah, I think with most coaches, they're looking for that opportunity, you know, to move up. And he felt like this was, you know, a good time to do that. Ballinger was, you know, pretty steep in tradition. I think he followed Randy Allen that was there at Ballinger for a while. And, you know, Randy Allen had just gotten a job at Brownwood. And so, you know, it was a good draw for him. It was a good job, good opportunity. To be honest, you know, it was my hometown. got the job, he called me like at 2 o'clock in the morning to tell me I was all fired up, like, and I was fixed to, you know, get the opportunity to go back to Ballinger and coach over there. And he's like, well, I don't think I have a job for you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I'm not sure it's going to work, you know, with the teaching and all, I'm not sure. So, you know, that kind of, I'm like, what the heck? So the next day, my superintendent here at Goldblatt calls and said, hey, I think we need to talk a little bit. And I'm like, okay. He said, I think, you know, we'd like to see about hiring you as the next head coach. And I'm like, okay. So I already left early that morning to go to a workshop in Waco, and I was in Waco, Texas when he called. So he said, you just come on home. So I just got in the car and drove back home, and we discussed things, and I just said, well, I just need to talk to Coach Priest before I decide what I need to do. And so he said, you know, you need to stay there. You know what we've got, and you know the kids. It'd be better for you to great opportunity, and just, you know, that's what you need to do. So I said, okay. So I ended up, you know, accepting the position there at Goldthwaite, becoming the head coach, I guess, when I was 29 years old. And, you know, that started that situation. I knew it was going to be a challenge for us moving up, but, you know, our kids didn't miss a beat going into, you know, Class 2A at that point. They gained a lot of confidence, and we were able there in my, you know, the first year as the head coach to, I believe, make it to the quarterfinals. And, you know, just, again, had a super group of young men that, you know, accepted challenges and worked hard and, you know, played hard, had a lot of grit. And so they definitely made the first year, you know, pretty successful.
Yeah. And you guys lose to Big Lake there in the quarterfinals, 17-14. So it's a really close game. It's a tough loss, I'm sure. As a first-year head coach, you know, you guys are coming off the state championship the year before when you're an assistant, and now you guys suffer a tough loss like that in the quarterfinals. I mean, did you take that to heart at all? Was it difficult for you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I mean, like you said, you know, we didn't have just, you know, a large roster, and we had just, seemed like, some pretty severe injuries. We'd lost several of our key players going into the game. We lost some during the game. And so, you know, we just felt like we were trying to hang on. But, yeah, it was definitely, like you're saying, a very, very tough loss. We had high expectations. You know, like I said, I had the type of kids that they took that as a challenge, you know, going from class A to class 2A, and, you know, hearing, well, they can't play in 2A, and, you know, they kind of took that personal, and, you know, they were very, you know, down, upset, because, you know, they had that as a goal, to not be able to make that jump and, you know, have the same success in 2A, and so it was, like you said, very, very tough, very bitter loss for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, the next few years there, of course, you guys will, in 87 and in 89, I believe, you guys will go out and buy district. And so I guess in 88, y'all don't make the playoffs. I mean, did you feel like early on, I guess, was there any additional pressure, you know, from yourself or the community or anybody else on you? Because eventually you're going to get over the hump, as we know. I mean, and you guys are going to do incredible things. But early on, being that you take the job right off a state championship season, I mean, is there anything that you'd want to elaborate on that maybe would help a coach out there that's feeling pressure?
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to exactly what you said. You know, I think at that point in time, I felt like the greatest pressure I received is what I put on myself, you know, because I wanted to succeed just as much as anybody else did. And like you said, in 87, We lost quite a crew off that 86 team, and so, but we still had some pretty decent athletes. We were able to get back in the playoffs and fell, I believe, to a pretty tough Hamlin team that year, and just had, you know, a list of another down year. We had in 88 a lot of injuries. injuries, and it just, didn't mesh real well. 89, we kind of started bouncing back, made the playoffs, ran into a pretty tough team. I believe John Henry was the running back over there for them that went on and has a pretty good career in college. So, it was just a kind of a rebuilding at that point. But like you're saying, yeah, it was kind of tough. Caught a little heat after coming off, having the success and then kind of dropping off. For a lot of years, that 88 year was like the only year we had a losing record back up to, around 2001 or so. So, it was tough after what we've, been through. But like I say, in 89, we kind of bounced back a little bit, made the playoffs again. And then in 90, had another good bunch that, just had, the right, ingredients to be able to have some success and make it a few rounds in the playoffs that year.
Yeah, definitely. And that's of course all leading up to a great run that's coming up here in the early 90s. Did you have any assistants during that time or any players that you'd want to mention? Or I know you could probably list 1,000 on here and you'd leave somebody out, but I just give you that opportunity in case you're interested.
Well, I appreciate it. In 90, like I said, we had the group that kind of turned the corner for us, and then we had a young man at quarterback named James Lee Freeman, and he was he wasn't a very big kid, but he was real wiry, as they say, and he was fast, and he kind of helped mold that group and, kind of got the corner turned for us. The next year, we went through a stretch in those early 90s, in 19, you can probably tell me better by looking, but in 1990, I believe, Leon went and played in the state championship, and then in 91, Albany went and played for the state championship, and so we then in 92, which we missed the playoffs in 91, I believe, because of losses to San Saba and De Leon, and like I said, it wasn't so much that we didn't have a good team, they just had some better teams. I mean, they were good football teams, and then in 92, we ended up at, after Albany had gone and played the state championship, they put them in the district with us. So we were one of the toughest districts around in 92, and we were able to, get out, and we won some very close games. And just had, I felt like that year we just had a bunch of scrappers. They played hard, they got after, we had a good mix of young and older kids, and, we got by the skin of our teeth and made it to the state championship game and played a very good Schulenburg team, and they kind of put it to us. But
and looking back at that,
it was a great experience for our kids. They got to go play in the Astrodome, and it was just a good year for us.
Yeah, looking back at that run leading up to that, your game there at the Dome, you've got a game where you guys beat Canadian 7-6 and Spring Earthlake 15-14, and then there's another one here against Pilot Point, which you guys win 0-0, and it has in parentheses SF 3-1. What determined the did you guys do penalty kicks like soccer? I mean, how did you guys resolve this?
like I say, we had some close games. We played Canadian when it was very, very cold. They didn't know if they were going to be able to even get out of town because they had so much snow on the ground, and we played up in Iowa Park and was able to lead that game, and then we had played Spring Lake Earth over in Snyder the night that a very brisk, I would say, cold front came through, and we scored in the last minute of the game and went for two to win it. point over Glen Rose, and you know, it was just a war, and we were, you know, back then they didn't have the overtime or none of that kind of stuff is on penetration, so we actually won that game 2-1 on penetrations because we got inside their 20-yard line twice, and they only got inside of ours once. So that was a, you know, a major win. It was really a major win of beating Pilot Point because they had, for our program, because, you know, they had done so many good things through the years, and that kind of put us, we felt like if we could, you know, play with and beat them, we would, you know, put our program on the map, so to speak, as well.
So then you guys, in that state title game, you guys play Schulenburg, as you had mentioned, and y'all lose a tough one there, a close one there, too. I mean, it's 35-20 is what it has here, and so it's not like... It probably didn't feel like a lopsided deal maybe for you guys that season because you'd had so much success. That feels more lopsided than you have been. But looking back on history, I mean, it's a very respectable effort there at, you know, anytime you're playing against somebody that good. And, of course, you're that good too, which is why you're there. But it's not going to take you guys long to get back and get some, you know, be able to redeem yourself that next season.
'93, you know, our kids, like I say, we had a good mix of younger and older kids. We had quite a few coming back, and you know, they were driven. They had been there and tasted that a little bit. They wanted to have that opportunity again, and we had, you know, again a very good defense. That we allowed a few more points in '85, but not a whole lot for that time frame, and especially playing up in the Class 2A, you know. They just, you know, were able to make some good things happen. We, you know, had some kids, like our quarterback was Keith Cockrum, and he was a tremendous athlete. He went on and played defense at the Texas Tech for a few years as a walk-on, which just kind of shows you that, you know, not a lot of walk-ons have the opportunity to play at that level, and he was able to do that. We had another young man named Andy Beard that went to Rice on a scholarship and went as a linebacker, and they needed a deep snapper, and he said, well, I can do that. So they just moved him over, and he did their deep snapping for several years. And but, you know, it was just we just had a, you know, very fortunate to have just a great, good group of young, not just athletes, but young men that, you know, worked hard, played hard, and, you know, did some good things that year in '93, and able to walk out of that stadium. You know, I always tell the kids there's only one team that's happy at the end of each year, and to do that, you got to win them all. And we felt very fortunate to, you know, have that opportunity in '93. And then when we looked to '94, again, we lost, you know, quite a few. We were still ranked number one. Cockrum was back as our quarterback. We had Heath Knuckles back as a running back. And, you know, had Adam Young up front in our line. We just had, you know, a good group nucleus coming back that we had to build around. And, again, we were picked high, but I thought, you know, we're pretty thin. We don't have a lot. I think we may have started with 18 on our roster. We just didn't have a lot of kids. And, you know, like they say, don't ever underestimate your kids because they still had that same goal of going back and doing it again. And, you know, we played pretty well throughout the year. I might bump back to 93 a little bit. We had a little road bump during that season. You know, our biggest rivalry game here in Gulfway is San Saba, which is just across the river down there. And San Saba, we had to play them over there. We went over there to play. They had, I guess, had been having a big pep rally and all, and they didn't even show up till the coin flip, and they were fired up and ready and played their tails off against us. And I think it's one of those nights, you know, they call that field down there the graveyard. It seemed like it was one of those nights that the spirits were with them for sure. They played their tail off, and everything we did seemed to be wrong. And they end up upsetting us, and you know, that was I think at that point a motivating factor for us, that we realized that you know, that what you read in the papers, what you hear, that doesn't always happen. You got to prepare and be ready to go each and every week. And you know, I think we learned a lot from that. The next week we had to bounce back and play Dublin, which was, you know, a very good football team at that time with Coach Levy over there. And we came out and played really well, and just kind of built off of that. And, but I think we learned a good lesson along the way, you know, that year. And I think that was kind of a motivation the rest of the way to, you know, make sure we make each and every game count.
Yeah, and you guys are 3A at this point too, correct?
No, we were still 2A.
Oh, okay. The website here has it listed as 3A, so I just wanted to clarify that, and I didn't hear you say you guys moved up again.
No.
Yeah.
So 2A. We were 2A, and they're, like I say, with these schools basically around us pretty much, and so finished that out. 94, like I say, was
Well, do you mind if I ask you a quick San Saba question?
Sure.
Before we go to 94, would you say, like, was, you know, obviously you said San Saba was the big rival and everything. Was it one of those games that on a yearly basis it was hard to predict, kind of like an Aggie Longhorn game, no matter how the season was going? You know, it didn't matter the day of the game for those two. You know, a lot of the time a bad Aggie team would beat a good Longhorn team or vice versa. You know, back when they had their big rivalry going on. Was it that way with y'all in San Saba, or did y'all usually just...
Yeah, it was a lot the same. I mean, there's times that, you know, they may have had a better football team and we were able to sneak up on them. Like, you know, that kind of comes to mind in 90 when they were ranked real high and predicted to win, and we actually tied them here in Goplay. And when it came down to it, we advanced because of that tie. So then in 93, you know, same deal. We go over there, rank, you know, pick the win by 40, probably, and end up getting upset. So, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, it seemed like it didn't matter. You could throw out the records at that week because it was, you knew it was going to be a battle each and every time, you know, you played them.
I would think too that it's a lot more fun to play them in 1990 than in 93. As you mentioned there, because, you know, you show up and you have you have everything to gain, you know, in 1990 by playing them. And in 93, you know, it feels like, well, we got to go play this team that's going to be bloodthirsty, wanting to beat us. And, you know, they're also pretty good, you know, year in and year out. And so it's just got to be rivalry games are a funny thing, you know, among football and all that. So, we're going on.
You better be prepared and ready is what it boils down to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys go on to 1994 there, and of course you're going to cap off this season with another state title where you get, as I mentioned, you know, that sweet probably revenge there against Schulenburg in the final in a tight game. But you mentioned you guys had only like 18 kids playing on the team that year.
Yeah, we didn't have very many when we started down. We eventually had to move some up, but we were pretty thin. And but, you know, like I say, we were fortunate. You know, it's just the way it is in our classification that we didn't have any injuries. You know, there's years we struggled because we had injuries, and this was just one of those where everybody, I think we lost one kid for a week the whole 16 weeks, and we stayed healthy and we kept going. We got the playoffs. We played a good Riesel team down in Killeen, and it was a rain game. And I'd never played on a field quite like that. It was old soupy mud. You stick your, if you was one of those kind of fields where it was so wet that if you was wearing shoes and didn't have them tied on good, it'd suck them straight off there. So it was just that type of night, and we ended up again scoring. But with 2 minutes left in the game, we kicked the extra point to tie it, bounced it off the left upright, bounced back, and like you said, we made it to the finals, played Schulenburg, and we still had several of the kids that played them in 92 that were on that bunch, and I think the first time we were a little bit intimidated. I don't know if it was playing in the Astrodome or playing them, but you know, by this stage, this was our third year to play in a title game, so we had a little bit more confidence, and we came out, and we were the underdogs. The paper come out. It was just one of those deals that kind of everything kind of hit right. They, had seven first team All-Staters, Player of the Year, and I think that kind of helped us a little bit. Seeing all that come out the week of the game, and we just went and played lights out and was able to, get a big win and win the state championship there in 94.
Was that game also in the Astrodome?
No, that game was played at Memorial Stadium in Austin.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah. How did you like coaching in, in obviously anybody that's been to some of the smaller towns like, Goldthwaite or San Saba or, Mason, Menard, any of those spots out there, how small a lot of the stadiums are out there. I mean, you fill them up and there's plenty of people. The whole town's there. It's great. But playing in a huge place like the Dome or Memorial Stadium, I'll let you take it away. What was that like in comparison?
I guess when we started out, like I said, in the early days in the playoffs, I remember with 85, we played one of our playoff games against Rankin in Robert Lee, Texas, which they're 6-10 now. But
right.
They had a nice stadium, but we just tried to, as we started out, we tried to play in the smaller venues. And when we got, farther down the road, especially in when we were in 2A, I guess we were playing more West Texas because we were in Region 1 starting out. And then when we went to Region 2, we were playing more of the Metroplex schools. And, they were accustomed to playing in bigger stadiums, so we gradually worked in that direction. I remember we tried to stay on grass fields because there just weren't that many turf fields around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were fixing to play Pilot Point that second time in 94. We'd played them in Glen Rose because it was going to be, they didn't want to play them on turf. And so the next year, my coaches, which, I had some, like I think you mentioned this earlier, some very fortunate with the coaching staff that I had. Tim Spradley was our defensive coordinator, and he did a great job of calling their defense for us, getting them lined up and going. And Kevin Burns was an assistant. He helped us in really all areas. He helped me probably as much on offense as anybody to try to, keep that side going. Mike Kokenauer was another assistant for us. And, Coach Bartley, Mickey Bartley, just different ones. I mean, we had some great assistants that helped us, have the success we did. But Coach Burns had gone and scouted. It worked out where, we could see some teams. And he said, we need to play Pilot Point on turf. And I said, you kidding me? He said, yeah, they're real big. He said, then they probably have a little speed in the backfield, but I think it'll be their advantage. And I said, well, we'll see. That better be right. But we ended up playing in UTA, which was a great facility. And but it just seemed like as we made that switch to 2A and to more of a central, we got into playing in some of the bigger stadiums, and we did. We played really well there at UTA, beat Pilot Point that second time pretty handily, and so we kind of got over that hump of not worrying so much about playing on the turf. And at that point, we played a lot more games, and so then we get, like you said, to have the opportunity. I mean, I think it's great for our kids just to have the opportunity to play in some of those places, Memorial Stadium for sure. And it was, I think we kind of grew into it. We didn't hit them with it all at once. So, but it was, a step in a direction that,
Yeah, no question. Let's see here. I mean, you know, of course, you guys, after that, after the win there in 94, I mean, you guys are still going to make a lot of quality playoff runs over the next several years here as well, leading back up to, you know, another couple of experiences at some state title games, you know, many years later there, right. Still at Goldthwaite. All of this is at Goldthwaite, of course, for our listeners. What would you like to say about some of those years in between?
Well, you know, like when we went through 95, we had, you know, still had a pretty good playoff run. We ran into Salina. That's when they, with G.A. Moore, started their run, I guess, starting about 95. And so they were a very good team. And, they kind of knocked us off there. And 96 was another tough year for us. You know, didn't make the playoffs. 97, we bounced back a little bit, had, again, pretty good bunch. And 98, we were able to make it to, I think, to the quarterfinals. You know, had some, you know, just a good run, you know, as kind of bouncing back, we felt like. And then we just went through a run, I guess, from 99 wasn't bad, I believe. We got beat, I believe, by Salina once again in the playoffs. And then after that, we kind of, or maybe that was 2000. But,
right, yeah, that was 2000. But
kind of hit bottom, so to speak. We had just a couple rough years, you know. We went through in these smaller schools. We, I don't want it to sound bad, you know.
Right.
We had some tremendous kids. We just didn't have those kids that were quite as athletic as what we had had. And, they were, you know, it's nobody's fault. It's just what happens sometimes in these smaller schools, that you just have the runs of, you know, having some athletes. And then there for a while, we went through a run where we just weren't quite as athletic as some of the other teams we were playing, for sure, you know. In the early 2000s, we were in there in the district with Bangs. It had some, you know, quality athletes. It went and played for a couple of state championships, I believe. And then Colt McCoy was over him then, and we were in the district with them. And, you know, we just, it was just kind of not a good combination, so to speak. And fortunately, we dropped back down, and I think it's 2003, I believe, or 4, and we went back down to Class A, and it was good timing for us, just because we had some, you know, kids coming up that were a little, that were, you know, pretty good group, and we dropped down at the same time, and so we were able that first year. We kind of, yeah, I guess it was in, oh goodness, I can't remember, 02 or 03-1. We kind of turned the corner a little bit. We'd won two, you know, three or four games after going, I think, 0-10 and 1-9. And, so the drop down helped us. We were able to, you know, have a good combination once again, and, you know, made the playoffs. So, you know, from, I guess, from that point on through until I retired, and after the 2013 season, at that point, you know, being in Class A, and of course they redid all that a few years ago, so it makes it kind of, you know, with the classifications, hard to keep up with at times of figuring some of that stuff out.
Yeah, a lot of different divisions and everything, and, you know, it can be hard to follow, you know, especially on the years where it switches, and, you know, every 2 years, of course, you know, it changes, and then you have, oh boy, what is that?
Division 1, Division 2.
Yeah.
Makes it interesting.
Let me ask you this question, if you don't mind, is, you know, obviously you've had in your coaching career a perfect season, and then, you know, being 15-0, and then, of course, you have the 0-10 season that you mentioned, and right before that, 1-9. I mean, you know, and again, as you said, it's nobody's fault, you know, not to blame yourself or the kids or, you know, anybody in that picture. But I ask you this question because I'm thinking maybe if there's any coaches out there that are kind of struggling, you know, at their current program and stuff. What kind of advice do you maybe have? I mean, as someone that has been on that other side of, you know, I've had the 15-0 season, and I've had the 0-10 season.
I hear you. You know, it's tough, you know, when you've had that type of success and then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's just a battle and you question. I know I did. I just questioned everything we did. Are we doing this right? Are we doing that right? But, you know, it kind of goes back to the same deal starting out when it's just you've got to, number one, believe in what you're doing. You just got to keep working hard, keep having the kids work. It doesn't change. You just try to make them better. And it's just a different situation, obviously, from when you're, you know, on a win streak and on a losing streak, but it's the same deal. You just got to keep your nose to the grindstone and try to work and get better each and every day. There's nothing, you know, like I said, there's no magic wand. It's not going to happen overnight. It's just a process that takes a little time to work through. And so, again, you just got to keep your nose to the grindstone, keep working. That's what I look at. We're doing the same things we've been doing when we were successful. So we just got to keep those same things in mind, and you know, keep on going and work every day.
Yeah,
get a little bit better.
Coach Prophet, one thing I'm wondering, I worked with a guy that was a Goldthwait Eagle, played football. He said he played football for you. I'll find out here by the name of Ty Mosley. We worked together out in Ozona. Could you tell me anything about Ty?
Well, you know, Ty played during those early years of 2000, and he was in that group that kind of helped turn things around for us. He had lots of good years rushing. I believe he is the top rusher in the Goldthwait Eagle football. Along the top, him and Douglas Hosclaw are probably our two top rushers through the years, and we've had some great ones. But, you know, Ty's a good tough little running back, did lots of good things for us.
What years would he have played for you? Can you?
Oh, goodness, probably 2003 through 6, maybe, or maybe even 2002. We moved him up as a freshman.
Gotcha. So he was on those teams that kind of, as we talked about earlier, turning the corner and building back up to where you guys are going to end up hitting the top of the mountain again there. Okay. As you guys turn that corner, as you mentioned, you know, in 03, you win 4 games. And then after that, you know, again, it's on. It's Eagle football. You know, you guys are back in the fold, back in the mix. Year in and year out from there, and what are some things maybe that change, you know, as you go into that? You know, into that transition, I guess, of those one year from the next.
Yeah, you know, we did a good job of just getting a little bit better as we went through that stretch each and every year, and we had some good athletes obviously that came through. We get to 2008, we played a Shiner team that was really good, and you know, it felt like we were a pretty decent team, and you know, they kind of showed us some of our weakness, so to speak. And so in 09, we had you know, just talked a lot about if we're gonna go anywhere, we've got to do, you know, get to that point and do a better job against China, because they're probably going to be right there in the way again. And you know, felt like our kids really went to work and had that you know, good time mentality about that. Not that you know, they're tough. We can't beat them, but, you know, they're tough, and we better get better if we're going to have a chance. And so, you know, we ended up that in 2009. We, you know, it was an interesting year where we played really well through the course of the season. We got to that first playoff game against Thorndale. My assistant, Kevin Burns, that I had with me earlier, he ended up, you know, going to Wall, being the head coach out there for a while. And his brother was coaching down at Thorndale. And the year before, we had played Thorndale and beat them pretty handily in the playoffs. And we played on the first round the next year with Coach Burns over there. And we were down at halftime. had that Louis beat them handily last year kind of attitude. But thank goodness we woke up the second half and ended up beating them, I think, like 35-21, something like that. And so that, again, kind of got us more on track with taking care of business. And we played really good football, those next few weeks. We come back in to play Shiner, and, our kids were focused and ready, and I think, played really well and ended up beating them 23-0. And we just got kind of on that roll up to the state championship game when we got to play the this was our third time to be in the state championship game, and Canadian. How it is. We kind of had that underdog role once again, and our strategy was, we ran the wishbone pretty much. They were the spread team, and we just, when we played those type of people, our strategy was to hang on the ball, drive it and score, and then see if we couldn't get a stop defensively. And some games that worked pretty good, some games it didn't. We'll get some of these teams because they were pretty talented. And this particular time we kind of they scored quick, got us down, but our kids fought back. We got a turnover. We were able to score and kind of keep the ball and drive it and end up being ahead at half. And end of all things, we scored on two pass plays in the second half and took a lead and kind of, so to speak, held on, came up with an interception in the last minute of the game to kind of seal the victory. And had a after I don't know how many years that is from 94, but we were able to find our way back in there and win another state championship. And
I look at that whole run, all the way, from the early 90s, mid 90s there to the late tail end of the first decade of the year 2000, 15 years later. You guys have been through what I guess maybe as a coach some would consider, at least from the outside looking in, the worst of it, being that you have a winless season there. And all of a sudden, here you are, you're back on top of the mountain. And you look at football so often, I don't remember what Mac Brown's record was when they let him go, but you win a state championship. I mean, a national championship, as Mac Brown did, and he wins a national championship, and then you have a 7-6 season or a 7-5 season or something, and that's not good enough anymore. I mean, I think it shows a lot of value that Goldthwait didn't make, didn't kind of have a knee-jerk reaction and just assume that the coach is the issue here, and they allowed you guys to return to what you were able to be. I mean, it's not, it doesn't always just fall on the coach. I mean, not to say that it falls on anybody. You go through it together, but you went through the good times and the hard times to get back to the good times.
Well, that's true, and I'll just say this. It didn't happen just without any difficulty or hard times or the statement you made, and that is very true, and we're fortunate to ride it out. There was times that things were questioned, and maybe we need to go a different direction, maybe we need to do the spread, that those things happened. But we were able to ride it out, so to speak, and still do the same type of stuff, that we've been doing. And our primary offense was a wishbone, but we still, ran other things. We would run the spread. We were shot. We did some shotgun. I mean, we did. We were multiple, I guess, so to speak. But our bread and butter was, the wishbone type stuff, which was, in 2009, 2010 wasn't the norm, I guess, so to speak. And everybody looks at things differently, but we've been doing that. We didn't change anything from when I took over as a head coach as far as our base stuff from 1986 through 2013. And remember during that stretch, they wanted to have an X's game, and well, they got all these kids to come play. I can't remember exactly what year that was. It was probably in the mid-90s. Well, they divided up odd and even years and had games. Well, they would call the play. They still knew the plays because we ran so many times through the course of their career when they were in school. And so everybody knew what plays were going to fix and be run. So it was kind of a unique kind of deal, but everybody didn't obviously see it that way. But I'll kind of get back on track here. You know, we came in, I guess, in the later 2007 or so. We had Evant in our district, and they decided to go six-man in the middle of the UIL realignment system, realignment deal. So we ended up we already had a bye, and then we were going to have another bye. So we started looking for a game, and we ended up with Mart. They were looking for a game. And so we started playing Mart in a non-conference game. So, and we get to, we're still playing them in 2010. So we end up playing Mason that's in our district, and Mark, we played the non-district, you know, during the year. And then we get to the playoffs, and we had played Mason, at Mason, and with the last probably two or three times we played over at Mason, we played terrible. And so I told the kids, we've had some health issues in 2010. I mean, the first game or two of that season, we were like, we lost two of our starting running backs and a couple of our linemen. We were just kind of piecing things together to hang on. Where in 2009, we went through, you know, great, no hard, very few injuries whatsoever. So we started out 2010 like piecemeal. But all those kids coming back, we had a bunch coming back that played on juniors in that state game. And so we get finally to district, and I think we played Mason like the ninth district or the ninth game of the year. And we finally, first week, we kind of got them all back. I think we had the majority back then. And I said, you know, it'd be nice. It's one time we could go to Mason and actually play Eagle football, play like we're capable of. And not much more than that, just not hoopla or nothing. Just, hey, it'd be nice. So we go down there and we beat them. I mean, it's packed. They think it's going to be their year. And we beat them 42-7.
Oof.
And, but the bad news was we turned around, we got to play them again in the playoffs. And we do survive. I don't remember exactly. It's 23-21 or something like that.
The website here has 27-26.
I knew it was a close one. Yeah. We were actually up at 14-0 and was going to 20, make it 21-0 and fumbled it. They kind of came to life at that point, and like I said, had to fight them off to win that one. And then we turn around and we beat Mark during the course of the year, earlier in the year. And so what do? We got to play them again in the state championship game. And, you know, it's one of those deals. We had played, you know, obviously been playing them for several years, and we just, I think that may have been the only time we lost to them was in that state game, but they got us in the state game in 2010, and in 11, we had some kids coming back, but we just didn't play real well together. I don't know, it was a different group, and then my last 2 years, 2012 and 13, we didn't have as much depth as what we've been having, but we had some kids that played hard. We had a tough schedule, you know, and when we won in 2009 and we had to find the schedule with realignment in 2010, goodness, nobody wanted to play us, and we ended up playing people like down in from San Antonio area. We had met them halfway. We played, I can't think the school's name, up on the border of Oklahoma. Met them in south of Fort Worth and played. We just had like an all-star schedule. And it kind of got back on a little bit better. At least the schools around here were playing. But in 2012 and 13, we had one of probably the toughest non-district schedule around. And I think we were 0-4 when we played in March. I can't remember if it was 12 or 13. And they were ranked at the top 10, and we beat them. Just because we've been playing such tough people, that I didn't expect that, I don't think. But anyway, we made the playoffs and went 2 or 3 rounds deep of both of those years. Just we told them, we may be 0-4, 0-5 when district starts, but we just got to keep working and believing. And they did a good job, responding to that. We didn't have great records when district started, but we did well in district and, got in the playoffs and was able to win a few games. So, that's one of those deals of being, we started out with, of being in the playoffs. There's several times through the course of that that we didn't win the district, but we were able to, keep focused and know that, we still got a chance when we get out of the district and get into the playoffs, and we were able to go several rounds deep and, several years that we were even the second place team coming out of the district.
What brings about, ultimately your decision to retire? Did you just feel it was time, ready to go play golf? I mean, what?
Well, to be honest, I always questioned that during the tail end of my career. When do I need to do that? Obviously, and after I was eligible for retirement after the 2010 season. But I just didn't feel like I was ready. But then at that point in time, after I had some health issues kind of arise in the 2012 season. And I went into 2013, and I just told myself, if I have any more health issues, this is it. I just don't think I can. I got to the point where, I was yelling, but it's just things during the course of the game. You yell at the kids, watch this, watch that. We're, in this. I started having headaches, and I just told myself if I had in 2013, if I had any more health issues, that was it. So I kept, the first game I, had some, just during the course of the game, nothing unusual. I'd have headaches, and then it would go away Saturday morning, and then the next week it'd be Sunday evening, it'd go away, and I'm like, well, that's it. So in 2013, I ended up just going to the press box and letting my assistants at that point. I was very fortunate, during my stretch to have some tremendous assistants, like I said. We kind of changed guard toward the end. I had hired Jeffrey Head that had come in, and he actually was our defensive coordinator the last year or two. He was the quarterback on our 85 state championship team. And so he had come back. He's a tremendous basketball coach, and he's still the basketball coach here at Gulfway. He has a great mind for it's whatever. He had been mainly an offensive coach, but Coach Bradley had been the defensive coach. And so we kind of turned things over. My son, we were able to hire in 08, and he was came in, Greg Profit. And he's the head coach over at Wellington now after his tenure here. And, I had Nicky Bartley that helped us. He's an older coach that had been, in different areas, and so he provided good input. Gary Spiegel was with us for a while. I mean, it's just, feel fortunate to have those type of people that were, here during that time. And so the last few years, it kind of turned it over. I let Greg be the offensive coordinator. coordinator, and we just kind of, you know, helped with wherever we could and draw inside. So, you know, it was a good changeover. You know, it just kind of happened during the time, and then I, like I said, decided that I was going to retire after the 2013 season, and so I went to the press box and, you know, helped call stuff from up there. Greg went to the sideline. So we just kind of made that had already made that kind of transition prior to my departure, and all those guys stayed around. Coach Greg was hired as the head coach after I retired, and he stayed up until this past year, and he took over in Wellington for Wade Williams. Wade had been over at Heiko for several years, and so, you know, it just felt like it was time. You know, my health at that point was probably a little bit more important than just hanging on. So that, you know, what felt like I needed to do, and I haven't looked back since. I've enjoyed retirement, and, you know, I sometimes feel guilty. I felt like I poured everything I had in all those years, and when I walked away, I walked away, and it's all been good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you get to go out to Wellington some and watch a game of Greg's every once in a while?
Oh yeah, we try to get out there. It's a pretty good haul out there. Yeah. We've enjoyed. He had a good playoff run out there his first year, so it was good. We enjoyed that.
Yeah. Have you continued to live there in Goldthwaite?
Yes, sir. Still live in Goldthwaite. Yeah, my kids were kind of, I guess, contemplating what we're going to do. I've got Greg in Wellington, and my daughter Tori lives over in Gatesville, and my middle son Jake, he lives in Burleson. So we're kind of in the middle, but not quite. But anyway, it's all interesting, but we enjoy our time. You know, we get to spend and do things with them, so we just kind of float around.
Are there any other programs during your time at Goldthwaite that you were very proud of, like with the different success of those programs? Obviously, as an athletic director also, you know, you have duties that go beyond just football and everything. Were there any other programs you felt were a big part of what you guys were doing?
Well, you know, in asking that, one of the deals, and we added different stuff, and, you know, through the years we added baseball, softball, but, you know, my deal was, as athletic director, is that if we're going to do it, let's just do it to the best of our ability. And so whatever we added, we tried to go out and try to, you know, be the best we could be at it regardless. You know, I felt like coaching football, that our, you know, I felt like it was good for our skill kids, especially to play basketball. And we were fortunate enough, you know, through the years to have some pretty good basketball teams. And, you know, felt like our skilled people, you know, helped contribute and make our basketball team better. But at the same time, I felt like they made themselves better, you know, by going through that, even just the workouts to be, you know, to work on quickness, agility, and footwork and everything else. And then, obviously, track was, to me, a good tie into football. You know, when you know, a lot of times kids, they don't like to run. They don't like to get out there and just run. But, you know, like I try to tell them, that it doesn't matter what sport you're doing. Running is pretty much involved. Maybe golf is the closest one that's not. But, you know, running is a big importance in everything that you do. So you might as well get used to running and try to be the best you can at it. We always had, you know, pretty large groups. I always felt like, you know, like I say, that track was a good tie to our football program, and fortunately we had, like I say, a lot of kids running track, and they helped our track be better, and they helped themselves get better. And then, you know, with the last few years when I started doing the summer workouts, felt like, you know, we had pretty good attendance with that as well. And I, you know, tell the kids, you know, it seems like the more kids we have working out in the summer, the better our seasons have been. So, you know, I think there's a tie there as well. You just gotta, you know, things have changed from, you used to have a little bit of summer. working to beat you. So if they're working, you better be working, because that's just the way it is these days. And I guess when you get out of high school, you can relax and run around all you want. But this is your time, so you better make the most of it.
And I always ask this question, you know, towards the end, if you want to tell our listeners a little bit about what your family meant to your career and everything.
You know, in growing up, where I it's kind of interesting because I guess I was the first one, and I have three sisters, and they all always been supportive. And but I was the first one that I guess in our family graduate from college. So and to go into teaching and coaching, and then my sister's boys, they both coach as well. My nephew Brent, he's the head coach at Littlefield, and my other nephew Brian, he is he's been a head coach. His last job was in Eldorado and in Seagraves, but now he's moved back home to Winters and as a principal and coach there. And then my children all ended up in education. My daughter teaches in Gatesville, my son, and he's worked with a special ed in the elementary there in Burleson, and so it's kind of, we went from none to having lots of people that's in that field of education or coaching, and so you know it's almost like if you see a picture of us where that was in me in the playoffs. Our teams in the playoffs in say 2010 or whatever, or if you look at Greg's playoff run, we there's always just a huge family get together, almost like reunion. I mean, our family's real close, and they play an important part of that. And they, like I said, it's I just feel fortunate we have, you know, a family that's that much, I guess, into education, into athletics, you know, helping young men and women, you know, to better themselves. And I feel very fortunate to have, you know, my family was supportive through the good times and the bad. So, you know, I can't say enough about them and what they mean to me, for sure.
Of course, we also have the boss of the household, you know, Mrs. Prophet. If you'd like to elaborate a little bit on all of what she's meant to your career.
She obviously is a backbone of our family with, you know, being a coach and being gone all the time. You know, she was always there, especially early on with the kids. And, you know, we, like with anybody else, coaching-wise, there's a lot of ups and downs, and I'm just thankful for her and, you know, everything she means to me, and hanging in there, you know, through thick and thin, and making things right, and being supportive and kind and caring. And I just, you know, love her to death and appreciate everything she did and everything she endured through those years. And just very fortunate to, you know, be married to someone that is that loving and having that supportive through everything.
Well, I can't thank you enough for joining us here today and sharing your story with our listeners, and I hope it'll provide some enjoyment to some of your former players and some help maybe to some coaches out there that pick up on it.
Sounds good. I appreciate you for hollering and giving me that opportunity.
You bet.
Thanks again for listening, and please remember, if you could, to go and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Until next time.